Well, the gap at the top is already 5 points, with Liverpool looking down on their rivals after five straight wins. Arne Slot, though, is now preparing to face the only team to have beaten them this season, with a trip to Community Shield winners Crystal Palace. Meanwhile, the game of the weekend will be on Tyneside as Newcastle play host to Arsenal. And we've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Welcome to The Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined again by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to talk you through their thoughts and tips for the weekend's Premier League and EFL action. I've come wearing blue today in support of Europe and the Ryder Cup this weekend, and if you're a big golf fan and you haven't already seen it, then make sure you check out The Sweet Spot with Dave Clark and Steve Palmer in the build-up to the clash at Bethpage Black. Also, we've enjoyed seeing your comments on the YouTube page as well. Andy Turner last week said, agreed, Amorim won't last the season. I actually don't think he wants to be there now. Well, Dyson Center said, good show, think Amorim wants the chop. Well, Ray Stevenson said, according to French journalist Julien Lorraine, Iraola is already earmarked for a big job in Spain next season. Well, certainly be a number of clubs keeping tabs on Iraola and the way that Bournemouth are going so far in the Premier League. Let's head straight into this weekend's action then, match week 5, and we'll kick off with the biggest game of the week, and it's at St James's Park on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff for Newcastle against Arsenal. Mark, we'll start with your thoughts on this one. Where do you see both teams at the moment?
Well, I felt that Arsenal last week missed a big opportunity against Manchester City. I know they got a late equaliser, but I don't think a draw is that good a result for them, really. You know, they rods on, they were at home, team selection very odd from the start, you know, to have Trossard on the left, the three defensive midfielders. Jokeres didn't get much service, and I think he's going to need service in those type of games. And you saw actually when Eze came on, started to dictate play more, and eventually it was his assist that got the equaliser. I felt that Arsenal were over-criticised at Anfield for the kind of negative sort of performance that they put in. But I think they deserved the flak for that Man City performance, because I agreed with Jamie Carragher when he said they wasted 45 minutes in the game. You've got to be trying to beat Man City at home. And now they take on a Newcastle side. This is a really awkward game. As far as Newcastle are concerned, they've been very good defensively this season, but goals have been a problem for them, which is no real surprise given the sort of Isak left right at the end of the transfer window, and then they had to bring players in. So two teams that are really well drilled defensively, just struggling for a bit of attacking fluency.
What did you think, Dan, of Arsenal last week? You agree with Mark that they missed out on a chance? I mean, obviously, if you were being pro Mikel Arteta and his tactics, you would say that they responded well from going a goal behind, but perhaps they did miss a trick.
I think it's a game where if you want to comfort yourself and just look at the stats and go, oh, yeah, we've had all this possession and territory. I mean, it's kind of what Arteta was doing after the game, really. You can go that way, or you can look at the cold hard facts. Is that City were very close to seeing the game through. Wasn't a huge amount of. I'm not sure you could. The pressure was building. I'm not sure you could really definitely see the goal coming. And Arsenal weren't creating enough. So you can say well done for City. They certainly tried a different kind of tactic by getting behind the ball and defending well. You can give them credit, or you can look at the other side of it and say Arsenal are struggling to create what they should. I think probably a bit of both is the case. And I agree with Mark, before the game, you can look at the Liverpool game and say, well, you competed well there. We were close to getting a deserved draw, which would be a good result. But to drop 2 points at home to City, who have already lost two games early in the season, I think is a bit of a blow for Arsenal.
Just to run you through the prices, Newcastle 5-2 to claim the victory here. It's 11-10 Arsenal, and the draw is 12-5. What you've already suggested there, Mark, in terms of both of these two teams being well organised, it might well be a low-scoring affair.
Yeah, I wouldn't sort of put anyone off the unders. I'm going to go for Newcastle draw no bet as the way to go. And St James's, when it's rocking, and there will be a big atmosphere for the game because there was There'd been a few things said, weren't there, last season with the balls and stuff like that when Newcastle beat them in the semi-final of the League Cup. It's going to be a hostile atmosphere for Arsenal and part of this difficult opening sort of five, six games that they did have. I think there was an understandable dip from Newcastle at Bournemouth, given they played Barcelona on the Thursday, and you could argue a point at Bournemouth is a good one, really, this season. I think they'll have a go at Arsenal, that they're much more positive at home. And Arsenal failed to score in four of their last five games at Newcastle, so difficult game for Arsenal. They've had a difficult start, and I'd rather be sort of pro Newcastle here.
Okay, I know before we get Dan's tip for this game that Noni Madueke has been added to the Arsenal injury list as well. He looks set to be out for a few weeks with a knee problem. Ordinarily, having Saka back and Madueke being out, Dan, you'd think, well, not too big a problem in terms for Arsenal, but Madueke's been impressive so far.
I think he's been one of, if not, their best player since the start of the season. Got probably might not got to so many chances this early on had Saka been fit. And this is the question: how fit is Saka? He got, I think, an hour in the EFL Cup game. Obviously, come on at half time against Manchester City. So he's building his fitness up, but there's a difference between that and being ready to beat your best in what is a really tough game. I would say, apart from City and Liverpool away, I'm not sure there's any tougher away game in the Premier League than Newcastle away, the way the crowd get behind them. Now, they've lost a couple of big games against Liverpool when they went down to 10 men, and Barcelona in the Champions League. But I watched both of them games, and they play pretty well for long spells in both matches. And I think it's just a matter of time before they're going to get a result in one of these big home games. I think they'll get it here. I'm not going to be quite as bold. I'm going to go Newcastle or draw, double chance. I just think that they'll get something out of the game. I mean, you've got to remember the last three home league games. No, not home league. The last three home games, Newcastle against Arsenal, Newcastle have won and not even conceded a goal. It's not an easy venue for Arsenal to play at. And I know Newcastle had Isak then, so they've not got that kind of absolute star quality up front anymore. But I still fancy them to get at least a point.
Okay, well, just a reminder that it's a 4:30 kickoff at St James's Park on Sunday. We're going to turn our attentions to Saturday now, and arguably the game of the day there is at 3 o'clock at Selhurst Park, where Crystal Palace take on Liverpool in a repeat of the Community Shield, where, of course, Palace ran out victors on penalties. A 3 o'clock kickoff, as I say, at Selhurst, and Palace are 14-5 to claim the victory. Liverpool 9-10, and the draw is 14-5 also. Five out of five for Liverpool so far, Dan. Again, at times against Everton, didn't look to be at their best, but still getting the job done.
Getting the job done. And sometimes, I mean, you can look at it and go, oh, they've been a little bit lucky, in some of these games. But good teams often just kind of do enough. And maybe a 2-0 up against Everton, they kind of foot, even though it's a derby, the foot does sometimes come off the pedal, and you're thinking more about what you're holding on to rather than pushing on and winning more convincingly. I'm getting that kind of feeling about Liverpool now, is that whatever the circumstances kind of thrown at them, they're going to, more often than not, get over the line. It's a fantastic start from that, kind of takes the pressure off, for which is generally a tricky away game. You've got doubts over how fit Sarr's going to be. I know Sarr's back in training for Palace. I think this is going to be really key as to how much of an impact he can have, because they've already lost Eze from the team that beat Liverpool in the FA Cup final and then kind of got the better of them in the end on penalties in the Community Shield. And I just think Liverpool are a shade of odds on. Ekitike's out, but all that's going to mean is that Isak, who looks to be getting a bit fitter as game by game, is going to get a proper crack at this game. They've still got plenty up front, certainly more, I believe, than Palace, and that'll be the edge, that'll win the game.
Just before you give us your tip, Mark, for this one, what did you make of the Hugo Ekitike red card in midweek? It just looked like a really stupid thing to do.
Yeah, just also, I mean, Dan meant Man City in the FA Cup final rather than Liverpool. Ekitike, I think, was like,
oh God, yeah, sorry.
Ekitike was so stupid. I'm sure there will have been sort of sillier things that players have done, but recency bias means that I can't think of too many sort of more stupid things than to do that when you've just scored a tap in against a championship team in the sort of least important competition that you're playing in was really odd to take your top off. And now he means he's, having already been carded, of course, it means he misses this trip. Isak, like, he's not 100%, is he? Because he's, he started last couple of the midweek games, and he admitted himself that he's still finding his rhythm. So you'd want to have Ekitike available for this match, even if it's off the bench, just to, Liverpool's bench has played a big part so far in what they've done this season. So yeah, it was a crazy thing to do, but I felt Slot managed it brilliantly. He pulled the player up for it. Also referenced the fact that it was a tap-in and he probably should have celebrated with Chiesa instead, and then can move on. So yeah, it was stupid from Ekitike, and I'm not saying that will cost them the game at Selhurst, but I was looking at Palace or draw double chance for this game. Well, they've got 17 games unbeaten now, Palace, in all competitions. They're really flying and difficult to beat. It's a small sample size, but they are second on expected goal difference at the moment. And I was just looking at Liverpool's fixtures. Five of their next six games are away, so got a real tough run ahead of them. So this is not an easy game. I think prices are probably about right, but if I had to edge one way, I'd just go for Liverpool not to win, not with a huge amount of confidence.
Okay, so Dan's going for Liverpool and Mark for Palace double chance. If we think the first two games on the list are going to be tight this weekend, then maybe we might see some goals in the late game on Saturday at 8 o'clock kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for Spurs against Wolves. Tottenham are 12-25 to claim the win. It's 21-4 Wolves and 7-2 the draw. Tottenham, I watched them at Brighton last week, Mark, and I was impressed for the majority of it. I think they were a little bit harshly done by to be two goals down, but then to fight back and get the point, plenty of positives to take for Thomas Frank.
Yeah, I watched the game as well, and agreed with that assessment, Warren, and they were I thought the better team really, and found themselves 2-0 down. One good goal from Brighton, the first one, second one, goalkeeper error, and a couple of other mistakes in there as well. But the way that they chased the game back, and in a sort of sustainable way, I think we've seen maybe under Postecoglou previously, that could have ended anything really once they'd gone 2-0 down early. But they just cleverly worked their way back into to the match, and definitely deserved a point come the end of it. They've made a really good start to the season. They're going well in the Premier League. They're one from one in the Champions League. They got through in the League Cup as well. Got a difficult game now against Newcastle, so they'll expect to win this game against Wolves. But the only thing I would say is that teams just don't stick on 0 points for forever and ever, and somewhere along the line Wolves will pick up a point that they're probably not expected to, because I don't want to make it too simplistic, but that's just how football sort of works really. So I'd be nervous enough about putting sort of Tottenham in the Akkers at sort of when you about 2-5 there, you said. So I'm gonna go for Mohamed Kudus to score or assist at even. He's had eight shots so far, and he's also put in the most successful crosses in the league. And I think Tottenham are looking. Crosses is a big sort of path to goal for them at the moment. And you couldn't really see Wolves keeping a clean sheet in this game.
Yeah, been impressed with what I've seen of Kudus so far. Wolves at least got a win in the EFL Cup in midweek, Dan, so they'll go with a little bit of more confidence to the capital. Going to get anything out of this?
I wouldn't completely rule it out. I would sort of echo what Mark said about, not being totally comfortable in chucking Spurs in your acca. I just think that, I mean, it's a small sample size, but at the moment, Spurs are playing better, certainly in their away games, than they have at home. Even the Burnley, the 3-0 home win, wasn't completely convincing. In the Bournemouth game, they were absolutely taken apart. Now, Wolves have had a poor start. They were dreadful against home to Leeds last week, and then a lot better against a pretty strong Everton lineup in the EFL Cup. Strand Larsen's, is fit now and available to play, so that's a big plus for them. But I do kind of think Spurs will probably win, and without even just watching a lot of Spurs games, for me, Kudus has been Tottenham's best player. I think the crowd really like him. It's a matter of time before he gets a goal, and I think it may come here. I think 13-2, Kudus to score the first goal is a good bet.
Okay, well, Wolves did beat Everton in midweek, but Everton flying pretty high at the moment in the Premier League, and good signs at times, especially in the second half of that game against Liverpool last weekend in the Merseyside derby. And they're in action on Monday night when they play host to a really struggling West Ham side, with Graham Potter, of course, under immense pressure at the moment. Everton 4-5 to win this game at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. West Ham 7-2 and the draw 13-5. I was writing an article this week about West Ham, Dan, and I described it as Graham Potter trying to push water up a hill at the moment. It seems to be that case, and there just doesn't seem any light at the end of the tunnel.
No, and I'm going to go for West Ham to get something here, right, to Everton. I've got to try and make a case for it now. This game, it's got a little bit of a feeling. So you remember at the start of last season, they started badly under Lopetegui, went to Newcastle in a game that everyone thought they'd have no chance in. I think that might have even been on a Monday night, and they went and played really well, got a great result. I just have a feeling with them that they did get the 3-0 win at Forest. So I think that the mood is so toxic at home. I think they're struggling to play at home at the moment. I think away from home, funny enough, I'll give them more of a chance. And I think it might be a good time to play Everton, because even though they played well in the Merseyside derby, to lose a derby is a big blow. I think they were quite invested as well in the EFL Cup. He had a strong starting lineup, brought big players off the bench as well to strengthen it even more. And I think that was quite a blow as well for Everton to be knocked out there at Wolves. So I just feel that it's a good time, actually, for West Ham to go there. They have got the other thing about away from home, the counter-attack threat of Bowen when you're sitting in and may have more space surrounding behind is more prominent. And I'm going to take a chance. Yeah, I think Everton are a bit too short for me at odds on. Don't score lots of goals, so I'm going to go West Ham will draw a double chance.
And the headline writers will be poised waiting, Mark, for former West Ham boss David Moyes to put the final nail in the coffin of Graham Potter. Is this going to happen?
Yeah, I agree with Dan to the point where I don't think I'd be back in Everton odds on to win the game. I just, you know, West Ham did go to Forest and I don't think many people give them much hope there, and they won convincingly. So there might be something in the fact that it's just more comfortable for them playing away at the moment. And I actually felt Everton were overrated for what happened in the Merseyside derby. They were terrible for most of the first half, and I just think Liverpool had played on the Wednesday night in a dramatic game against Atletico, eased off, and sort of Everton sort of just snuck their way back into the game. But I don't really feel like they ever looked like they were going to equalise. I know they moaned about how sort of few minutes injury time there was, but it wasn't as if they were creating loads of chances. So I'd be nervous about backing Everton just because of the lack of goal threat. That said, I'm going to go for Michael Keane to score around about 12-1. But we know West Ham terrible from set pieces, conceded again from a corner against Crystal Palace. 7 goals now they've conceded from set pieces. And if there's one thing that Moyes is good at, you know, it would be set pieces and finding a weakness there. And Keane's a bigger price than Tarkowski. But actually, if you have a look at the XG of both this season, Keane is actually higher. He's got 0.5, which is the same as new signing Barry and also Jack Grealish. So clearly, you know, that he's a target at these set pieces. So I'd be going for Keane in this one to score.
He did get his head on a couple of corners at Anfield last weekend as well. The next up on our list is the clash at Stamford Bridge. It's another Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff where Chelsea play host to Brighton, and Chelsea are 3-4 to claim the victory. It's 31-10 Brighton and the draw 3-1. We have to touch upon Chelsea at Manchester United last weekend. I mean, I know, you know, the goalkeeper getting sent off early, Mark, had a big impact, but there was a lot of question marks for Enzo Maresca off the back of that game.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like Sanchez, just I don't think he should be the Chelsea goalkeeper. I know I'm not, there's not breaking news there. There's a lot of people that think the same, but when you spend the amount of money they have and sort of traded the amount of players they have, to still have Sanchez in goal as the number one, you know, feels risky. And then watched the game against Lincoln in midweek, and the replacement didn't cover himself in glory either, coming for crosses and not particularly comfortable at doing that. But yeah, I think Maresca just he made one too many subs, really. You know, you shouldn't have made two subs as quick as he did. Obviously he had to bring on the goalkeeper, but you usually sort of just wait and sort of think about it for a little while. You know, it was too rash. really with that. They did sort of battle their way back into the game and pushed once it was 10 v 10. But I had maybe question marks just at the moment about Chelsea away from home. They failed to beat Brentford, lost at Bayern, and now they've lost at Manchester United. But this is at home now, much stronger in front of their own crowd, and I would still expect them to win this game against Brighton. Brighton side, no clean sheets in the Premier League this season, and I just wasn't that impressed with them in that 2-2 draw against Tottenham. I thought they were gifted the goals, but were pegged back for most of that encounter.
What do you make of Chelsea at the moment, Dan? Where are they at? We started the season with a few people suggesting they could even mount a title challenge. At the moment, they seem some way off that.
Yes, and what I would say is that I was kind of sceptical about them at the start of the season, thinking how they're going to recover after the lack of a proper pre-season after the Club World Cup. And funny enough, I thought they would grow and get better as the season went on. Since coming back from the international break, I think they're playing worse, if I'm honest. They weren't great in the game at Brentford. They were pretty well beaten. I watched the game against Bayern Munich. Bayern had a lot of other chances other than the goals that they scored. I thought the Man United performance was pretty poor, actually. Even at 10 v 10, I know they got a goal back, crossing the box, Chalobah header, but I just thought it didn't really look like pushing on and equalising after that. And United, for all of their kind of pressure that they're under at the moment, saw it out quite comfortably. And the Lincoln game, Lincoln actually made a lot of changes for that game, and they won the shot count. They had more touches in the opposition box. I mean, it wasn't like a game that Chelsea have dominated in any shape or form. So I think the questions are mounting. I'm not overly convinced by Brighton either, but they have they had a much better midweek experience, didn't they? Another 6-0 win away in the EFL Cup, one away to Barnsley this time, and maybe suggesting that they have got quite a bit of squad depth. And I just think this will be quite a close game, and I think the draw is a bit overpriced. Going to go with the draw.
Okay, well, five games through, five more to go in this weekend's Premier League action. And up next, it's off to the Etihad, where Manchester City play host to Burnley, also at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And City are 6-1 on to claim the victory here. It's as big as 14-1 for Burnley to claim the 3 points, and it's 13-2 the draw. What did you make of City last week? A lot was made of it, Dan, in terms of Guardiola deciding to maybe not necessarily shut up shop, but take what they've got at 1-0 at Arsenal and, make sure that they're difficult to break down. That's not the City we've come to expect.
No, but you kind of get criticised just because Arsenal did equalise near the end. I mean, if they'd have seen the game through, then everyone would be saying, oh, what a tactical masterclass, and that they've gone there with 2 days less rest and got a fantastic away win. I think before the game, they would have probably took a draw. That's what they've ended up with. And they're starting to build a little bit now. The Manchester Derby win, beat Napoli on the first game in the Champions League, then got the point at Arsenal. I think this is because they've got ground to make up, though. It sounds crazy, Burnley, but it's a massive game for City. They can't really afford to look too far ahead and risk dropping points here. I think he'll go really, really strong. Made a lot of changes as you'd expect, for the EFL Cup win at Huddersfield. And I think they'll be disciplined again, but obviously they'll be much more front foot. I think Burnley, it'll be a rare team getting in, out of their own half, let alone getting into City's penalty area very often. I don't see Burnley having many chances. And for that reason, I'm going to go with City to win 2-0, just a shade of odds on.
Mark, before we get your thoughts on this game, where do you think City are in terms of, are they good enough to go on and win the title this season? Is there enough signs there for Pep Guardiola to feel like his side can challenge?
I think that they'll get better as the season goes on. It's just whether, like, Liverpool sort of let anyone else back into it, already got a big advantage. The spine of the team now, Donnarumma, you can see he settled that defence down. Such a presence at the back. Guardiola is fit again. Rodri fit again. Foden showing signs of life. Haaland looks as sharp as ever, really. He's definitely that slump where he only scored about 30 goals last season hasn't lasted long, and he's playing well as well. So I can see City really growing into the season, but I'm not surprised it's been a slightly slow start, just because it has been a bit a reset for them. So kind of They should have beaten Brighton. I think that was the sloppy one because they were in control of that game and just threw it away. But I don't think they'll make the same mistake here at home to Burnley. But I'm going to go for City in under 3.5 goals, primarily because I don't think Burnley will score. But I was actually looking. Burnley's XG against is the worst in the league, 10.3. And if City are 2 goals up, maybe they don't need to, go crazy for any more goals. There's Champions League coming up and stuff like that. So, yeah, routine City win.
Well, the weekend's Premier League action starts at 12:30 on Saturday, and it is Brentford against Manchester United, which kicks us off. Brentford 23-10 to win. It's evens Manchester United and 29-10 the draw. United will be boosted, I'm sure, by that win last week. It takes a little bit of the pressure off Ruben Amorim, but this is one of those games, Mark, where in the past, we've seen United bulldoze and are maybe a little bit bullied by Brentford in the past.
They've had some nightmares here. The game when Ten Hag was it 3 or 4 nil down at half time. The silly goal they gave away. I remember like Eriksen got robbed at sort of the edge of his box and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean it United haven't been good for ages. So I mean it feels like that every away game is a difficult one for them. The one thing I would say about United is that they're fourth in the Premier League for touches in the penalty box. So they've maybe been pushing in games more than we've appreciated, but they've still not won back-to-back league games under Amorim. He's been there the best part of a year now, so they're desperate to get some consistency, but we just haven't seen it from match to match. So Brentford drawn at home to Chelsea, they beat Villa. One thing they're really good at, set pieces, and United are not good at them. So that could be a path to goal. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm not mad on Brentford, and I initially wanted to take them on, but I just find it very difficult to trust Manchester United away from home. I think they're about 11 to 10, aren't they? It's just, yeah, not for me.
No, Matheus Cunha looks to be back to full fitness now for United. Brian Mbeumo, of course, Dan, will head back to Brentford for the first time this weekend. Are United going to put back-to-back wins together?
I'm not sure they will. I think that Chelsea game was just a bit of a mad game. It's very hard to kind of assess it. I thought United were deserved the win overall, but with the way that I mean, Mark mentioned it, that the substitute Maresca made his substitutions. I just think it took so much threat away from Chelsea that it kind of made United's job a lot easier than it should have been. And away from home, they've won four since the start of last season, four Premier League away wins, and you're being asked to back them, a shade of odds against. I kind of mentioned this that same stat when I went to Fulham a couple of weeks ago and ended up with a draw. I think this is a maybe a slightly more winnable game for United, but for Brentford, I think have been doing okay. They're in the league only 4 points, but they've got those four from home games. They've got past two Premier League teams in the EFL Cup as well, so not a disastrous start. And they Fulham away, they'd start. I watched the game started quite well, and then had a bit of a mad 15 minutes either side of half time where they conceded 3 goals. I think Brentford have been slightly better than I expected them to be actually this season, despite the fairly low points total. And I think they'll get another point here. I'm going to go with a draw.
Okay, well, three more games to look at. And up next, we head to Elland Road for Leeds against Bournemouth, which is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Bournemouth, fourth in the table, 10 points from their opening 5 games so far. And I can tell you that the Cherries can be back to 11-8 to claim the victory at Leeds, who are 21-10. And the draw is 9-4. Awkward one a little bit here, Dan, although Bournemouth have shown already, winning, of course, at Spurs and causing Liverpool problems on the opening weekend, that actually they're very dangerous away from home.
Yeah, Bournemouth are clearly the better side, and they'll certainly go there looking to win, may well get the win. I just think that I'll be slightly wary about backing them because I think Leeds are really looking to make Elland Road a tough place to come. I think this season already got a couple of clean sheets. The win over Everton kind of influenced by that kind of dodgy penalty, but they got a nil-nil as well against Newcastle. Went to Wolves in a key game. At the end of the season, that could look a really real big result, couldn't it? That 3-1 win away to Wolves, and their points total at the moment, I think they'll be quite happy. And I don't know. When you watch them at home in the Championship, they were quite gung-ho, really went after teams. They're being much more cagey this season. I think that may make it difficult for for Bournemouth to break through them. I mean, Bournemouth are the likely winners, but I just can see a tight game. So I'm going to go with under 2.5 goals. It's just a shade of odds on.
There were a lot of Leeds fans prior to that Wolves game, Mark, who were talking about Daniel Farke being under serious pressure, even some calling for him to go. That could be a huge win for them come the end of the season.
Yeah, great free kick, wasn't it, really, that sort of got them back into the game. And I was looking, though, Leeds' XG this season is only 4.2, which, if you think they scored three at Wolves, they had the penalty against Everton. Suggests they're not creating many chances, so that might play into what Charles has done there with the unders. I'm going to go for Bournemouth, draw, no bet. I think Dan referenced all the reasons why this might be a tight game. But what I would say about sort of Bournemouth being, like, they've only conceded one goal in their last four Premier League games, and that includes matches against Tottenham and Newcastle, two Champions League teams. Like, the defence is no worse, despite the fact that they've sold players to Liverpool and Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, which goes to show, I think, just how good Iriola is. And we had that commenter saying that he's been lined up for a big job in Spain. Like, if Flick left Barcelona, you'd imagine he'd be a big runner for that. Atletico Madrid, I sort of feel like Diego Simeone, I don't know, he'll leave when he wants, but he might not have that much longer left. He might be getting a bit bored there. So, yeah, I could see Iriola at one of the big Spanish clubs. I could see him at Man City. I could see him at Arsenal if things went wrong for Arteta as well. So, yeah, I just think he's a really good manager. Bournemouth draw, no bet.
But ultimate game for us then is at the City Ground, 5:30 on Saturday. Nottingham Forest against Sunderland. Forest fresh from that Europa League draw against Betis in midweek. Are 4-5 to claim the victory. It's 7-2 Sunderland and 13-5 the draw. Could you put your faith in Forest at the moment with the way that they're playing, Mark?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I had a bit of a pop at Postecoglou last week, but good performance against Betis. You know, that a point's a good result anyway, but they actually played better than that. And Sunderland, fewest touches in the penalty box in the Premier League and away from home, shots on target. They've had one. Their opponents have had eight in trips to Burnley and Palace. I think all their good work will be done at the Stadium of Light this season. And I mean, this is a big opportunity here for Postecoglou to get that first win.
Difficult to work out Sunderland a little bit at the moment, Dan. I mean, they looked better with 10 men against Villa last week than they did prior to getting a man sent off.
Yeah, but that probably also says quite a bit about how poor Villa are at the moment. I agree with Mark that they're away from home. I don't see them getting a great deal of points. I think Forest, without winning, are certainly showing signs of doing okay under Postecoglou. I thought they kind of bossed a lot of the game away to Burnley and away to Betis as well, which is even more impressive. I just think the wins come in. With Forest, I look at them, I can see them finishing absolute worst top 12 with the squad they've got. They should be aiming certainly for top half. Where Sunderland, I don't see them finishing anywhere other than somewhere in the bottom five. When you kind of like look at that assessment, Forest only being a shade of odds on to beat them at home, I think that's got to be well worth taking.
Okay, last but not least, we'll head to Sunday's 2 o'clock kickoff, where Aston Villa play host to Fulham. Villa, of course, still looking for their first win of the season, and Unai Emery's men are 5-4 to claim the victory here. It's 9-4 the draw and 23-10 Fulham. Is it a matter of time before Villa gain that victory, Dan, or are we seeing Unai Emery under severe pressure now?
It's certainly a matter of time, but I'm not sure how much time it'll actually take. I don't think it'll be this weekend, put it that way. I mean, they've got the game first to get out of the way against Bologna, which is a big game for them, start of their Europa League campaign. So that's kind of, obviously you want to be in Europe, but given the way they're playing in the Premier League at the moment, that's far from ideal, really. I thought you're looking for improvement if you're a Villa fan. And I would argue that performance, after 33 minutes, they're playing against 10-minute Sunderland, and they've actually ended the game with fewer shots and a lower XG than Sunderland. Now, just drink that in. I mean, that is, I would say it's their worst performance, really, if you break it down to the season. So they're not improving. Fulham are picking up. They got the two home wins against Leeds, a bit more of an impressive home win against Brentford, One in the EFL Cup in a week at Cambridge. I think they'll have a decent chance of a good, you know, in that competition. But yeah, I think Fulham will get the win here. Actually, I'm going to go with Fulham on the draw no bet because I think it'll be a tight game.
Unai Emery said after that Sunderland performance, called some of his players lazy mark. It's either going to go one or two ways. He's going to get a response or they may well down tools.
Yeah, I think that there's been a suggestion that he meant slow rather than lazy, but it might be easy to say that after the event because he was fired up. He walked down the tunnel before the full-time whistle. Sporting director Monchi left on Monday. The vibes at Villa are not positive at the moment. So low on confidence. Their XG is rubbish, lowest in the league. And it's from quite an easy start. I mean, Newcastle had no Isak. You had Brentford, not the most difficult of away games. Palace had played in Europe. Everton, okay, you settle for a point, but they were on the back foot for all of that game. Sunderland were 10 men. Like I think Opta's model said that Villa have had the easiest start in the Premier League, and you know they're where they are in the table. So yeah, big problems at the moment for Villa. I just have Fulham got the killer instinct to go away from home and push for the win. That's that would be my one concern. So I like Dan's sort of angle on the Fulham draw no bet, but I'm going to go for the draw in the game overall because I just think Marco Silva probably takes a point, and then it's whether Villa can break them down. And with Rodgers out of form, Watkins showing no signs of life, as you know, we were speaking before that game on Thursday. Yeah, this wouldn't even be amazed if it was no goal scorer here, 0-0.
Well, that is the Premier League covered then for this week. Next up, it's your FPL update, and then we'll be back to discuss all things EFL. Well, now here's Tom Hill to talk us through the players to consider in Fantasy Premier League Game Week 6.
Game Week 6 is here already, and it's another Saturday deadline at 11 a.m. for us all to navigate. There's games taking place on Saturday, Sunday and Monday this week, with Everton's clash with West Ham bringing the game week to a close. The pick of the fixtures sees Newcastle host Arsenal at St James's Park, and this week has huge significance in the fantasy landscape as the fixtures start to swing for some teams, and it appears that there's lots of chits being played across the world. Let's take a look at the three best outfield players then for the week. Our defender recommendation for Game Week 6 is Hosky Gvardiol, priced at £5.8 million. Manchester City have the highest predicted chance of keeping a clean sheet this week as they face Burnley at home. Gvardiol was injured until Game Week 4, but has since started in three of the club's last four matches. While he's now deployed as a centre-back, he's still a threat from set plays. City are set to dominate possession. There's every chance he might even push a little further forward. In midfield, we've turned to Mohamed Kudus of Tottenham, available at present at a price of £6.6 million. He's scored more than 3 points in four of the first five game weeks, and he faces a vulnerable Wolves defence. Kudus picked up two assists last time out against Wolves, taking his tally to four for the season. Wolves have conceded the second most goals this year with 12, and Kudus offers a cheap way into the Spurs attack and is on some set pieces. Minutes should also be no issue. He's played at least 84 in every game this year. It's the obvious pick of the game week for the forwards, and Erling Haaland is the striker suggestion. For those that do not own, do what you can to get him without destroying your team. For those that are willing to go without him, maybe plan to go for a long walk on Saturday or even sit behind the sofa for 2 hours. Haaland is actually considered a doubt after some comments from Pep Guardiola suggesting he had a back injury, but he did sit out City's EFL Cup win over Huddersfield, and unless Guardiola says he's not playing, he cannot be overlooked this week. He's got 6 goals so far this season, and City should rack them up against Burnley on home soil. Burnley have the highest expected goals conceded stat in the league at a whopping 10.2, and this is a no-brainer of a pick. Game Week 6 captaincy is now then the turning point. For now, it's the captaincy we look to. It's an obvious one. We recommend, though, this week, it's the first time to play a chip. Lots of FPL managers appear to be wildcarding. Some are going to free hit in order to bring in Haaland. But our suggestion is to play the triple captain, should you still have it. If he is fit, he faces a home fixture against a relegation candidate who have been conceding chances on a regular basis. There's no fixture congestion, and he should be given plenty of time to add to his goal tally. Later in the year, year, when other juicy fixtures appear in the schedule, teams have midweek European commitments, there's less time to recover, and there's no guarantee that those premium picks are going to be playing minute by minute. Haaland is banging form against the Clarets at home. It might not come any easier than this.
Big thanks to Tom. We'll turn our attentions now to the EFL and a couple of maybe surprise names at the top of League One and League Two, particularly in League One with Bradford City leading the way. A big surprise, Dan, I would suggest, to a lot of Bradford fans, let alone anybody else looking in, having just got promotion, of course, last season. But what a start for Graham Alexander's men.
They've been amazing, haven't they? They've carried on the, you know, the momentum from last season. I mean, to go to Cardiff as well last week and win 3-1, and it wasn't a lucky 3-1 as well. Looking at the, you know, the highlights of the game and the stats of the game, you know, I think they can probably sustain it and be up there. The key for them as well is it's completely taken off there in terms of the fan base. They're supported. They're backed by around 20,000 fans every week at home. So I can see that home form remaining strong. Maybe away from home, it could tail off a bit more. They've been doing it earlier in the season as well. With Andy Cook was injured, you know, earlier in the season. You know, one of the, you know, the regular goal scorers, and he's only just got himself fit. So they've got that to kind of add to the mix as well now. Yeah, I think they'll. I would fancy him to make the top six.
A little bit of a surprise package also in League Two. A couple of seasons now that Gillingham had been mentioned about being there or thereabouts at the top, but they are currently at the top of League Two. And I think Mark mentioned in the preview at the start of the season, Dan, that Gareth Ainsworth could prove to be a bit of a cheat code for the Gills this season. He's certainly doing an excellent job at the moment.
Yeah, fantastic job. They've got a good budget there down at Gillingham. I think, you know, they've been underperforming for a while, but now they've got a very good manager as well. You know, his track record, you look at, you know, what the job he did at Wickham over many years was fantastic. Gillingham have now got a club record, unbeaten record. That was sealed with their win away to Newport last weekend. I would say they're not creating bundles of chances, so I think they may well be a drop-off coming at some point, but I certainly wouldn't see him finishing anywhere outside the top seven. And with the start they've had you know, the budget they've got, they're probably going to strengthen again in January, every chance of getting automatic promotion.
One thing to just watch out for there is whether Ainsworth actually then starts to attract interest higher up the table, because he probably feels like he's bigger than League Two, having, you know, all the hard work he'd done previously. Probably is, you know, style of football often held him back, but been a bit of a suggestion that potentially Reading, if they made a managerial change, might be sniffing around Ainsworth. So yeah, just keep an eye out on that one.
And he's ex-players there, isn't he? I think is one of the, I don't know if it's director of football, but I'm confident the name, the fullback, but he's involved at Reading as well. Yeah.
It could be some big decisions on the way in terms of Gareth Ainsworth, but certainly at the moment, Gillingham flying high, as are Middlesbrough in the Championship. They remain top of the table. And it's time now to look at Dan's best bets across the EFL this week. And talking of the Championship, Dan, who are we looking at first?
I'm going to go with QPR to win away to Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, QPR, that 7-1 loss away to Coventry. I mentioned at the time, there wasn't actually a massive difference on the XG. So it was one of them, you watch the game and everything that Coventry hit, often from outside the box, was just flying in. Maybe QPR weren't as bad there as a scoreline suggests, and they bounced back with three straight wins, which in the Championship is very difficult to do. Now they're going to Sheffield Wednesday. They got a great win away to Portsmouth last weekend, but they still face 25 shots in that game, Sheffield Wednesday away to Portsmouth. And the second goal that kind of clinched it, O'Shaughnessy, watching the game, he just done his hamstring and the Sheffield Wednesday strikers just ran through and clinched the game. You wonder if they'd have held on without that moment. But at home, a bit like West Ham, really, the atmosphere is so toxic at home. They've lost all three home games, haven't scored a goal yet. And with QPR, the run they're on at the moment, I mean, they're about 29-20, you know, quite a bit of odds against. I'll be taking that for them to win.
Okay, so it's QPR to beat Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship for Dan. Who are we looking at in League One?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Team Rotherham not to lose away to Mansfield. I mean, not losing away is not something that Rotherham have actually done yet this season. They've lost all four away games, but they are picking a couple of... Their squad was injury hit earlier in the season. It's getting a bit fitter now. Kean Spence, Josh Coyote, two of the players that have recently come back from injury. And Mansfield, it's kind of the opposite is true. They're getting a lot of injury, especially at the back. Also got Ryan Sweeney suspended after his red card in their 2-1 defeat away to Port Vale last weekend. There'll be quite a few Rotherham fans there, so it's quite a short distance to travel. Mansfield have gone six games without winning. And Mansfield, I mean, they're around odds, you know, shade of odds on. I wouldn't be comfortable backing them at that price with the injuries they've got. So I'm going to take a chance on Rotherham or draw a double chance.
Okay, and we'll conclude the EFL section with Dan's League Two pick. Who are we looking at here, Dan?
This, I'd say, is my biggest fancy. Going to go with the Notts County draw no bet away to Crewe, odds against Notts County, really on the rise now. Got they've taken 13 points from the last six games. 4-0 win at home to Crawley last weekend. Crawley have won back-to-back games going into that. So that, and that, probably their best performance, Notts County, of the season. And you look at Crewe, they've had 1 point from the last five games. Started the season really well. Now they're down to mid-table. Horrible 1-0 loss away to Barrow last weekend. I can't for the life of me work out how they are favourites to win this game. So Notts County, draw no bet for me, is a good bet.
Okay, so just a quick reminder of Dan's EFL bets for this week. QPR, Rotherham double chance, and Notts County draw no bet. Mark's turn now, and I doff my cap to Mr. Langdon because he got an excellent bet builder selection correct last week. 17-2 for the Merseyside derby when he suggested Liverpool to win under 3.5 goals and Keane and Dewsbury Hall to be booked. And this week, Mark, you're looking at Newcastle against Arsenal.
Yeah, but also just like to thank the referee for booking Dewsbury Hall for taking that quick free kick. I always said that you should get booked for that terrible infringement. We're going to St James's Park for this week's bet builder. 11-1 shot, Newcastle against Arsenal. First up, under 2.5 goals. 10 of the last 11 meetings between Newcastle and Arsenal have been unders. Sort of coaches in Howe and Arteta that really are structured in the way that they like to build, and building from the back is important for both. I'm going to go for Newcastle or draw, double chance. Arsenal have lost on four of their last five visits to St James's Park, and I'm expecting a big atmosphere and a difficult game for the Gunners. And that leads into the final leg of the bet builder, which is Zubimendi to be carded. You know, Newcastle, very athletic, they're very robust in midfield, and Zubimendi's been heavily involved so far since he arrived in the summer, particularly in away matches. He was booked at Athletic Bilbao and Liverpool, and he was fortunate to escape a card at Old Trafford. He was sort of pulled up for two fouls, but managed to get away with it. So yeah, under 2.5 goals, Newcastle or draw, double chance, and Zubimendi to be carded.
Okay, on to this week's assist treble now. And Dan, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, going to go with Nottingham Forest home to Sunderland. I think Ange will just be delighted to actually get a home game. He's had like four away games to start with, the Swansea and Betis in the cup competitions and Arsenal and Burnley in the league. One of the only managers I've had to start with four away games in a row. But I just think they're both in false positions. Forest are 15th at the moment. Sunderland a seventh. You could quite easily see that reversed by the end of the season. So Forest to win this one for me.
I think you're going overseas, Mark, this week, aren't you?
Yeah, going to Rome. Roma won my pre-season tip to win Serie A. They've got 9 points out of 12, so solid start. They played in the Europa League in midweek, but it was the Wednesday rather than Thursday. So I think that should be okay. Verona have already been to the Stadio Olimpico this season. They were beaten 4-0 by Lazio. So they're a short price Roma, but hopefully will oblige for sort of Akabakas.
Yeah, I'm going to go from Rome to Grimsby. It's not very often you hear that. I'm going with Grimsby to beat Cheltenham at around about 1-2 in League Two. The Mariners did lose at Barnet last week, but that came after a bit of euphoria of another EFL Cup win over Sheffield Wednesday. They've had a free week this week to prepare for it. They've only lost once at Blundell Park this season, which was a defeat to Bristol Rovers by a 0-2. Bristol Rovers improving all the time. And the Mariners did have 66% possession and 12 shots in that game. Cheltenham, though, meanwhile, they've recorded just one win in their opening 9 league games. Gary Johnson's recently left as director of football. Mike Flynn's been sacked this week. So you could say a little bit of disarray at Cheltenham. And I think going to Grimsby is not necessarily what they need at the moment. So this week's assist treble is Grimsby, Nottingham Forest and Roma. And we'll conclude with the naps of the week. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
I was really struggling to choose between two Premier League home teams. Nottingham Forest was very close to going for them. I have gone for Chelsea. It's probably more just an anti-Brighton selection. Just not sure about the way they're defending at all. And I think that their open approach will actually suit Chelsea, who tend to be at their worst when they're trying to break teams down with the low block. But Brighton have conceded 7 goals on their last two trips to the Bridge. So hopefully there'll be plenty of goals for Chelsea in this one as well.
Okay, it's Chelsea for Mark. And Dan, who's your nap of the week?
Yeah, Notts County drawing, I bet, at Crewe. I mean, they're really clicking into gear now, Notts County, with that 4-0 win over Crawley. You look at Crewe on a terrible run, created very little in that 1-0 loss away to Barrow. I think they'll be beaten by Notts County.
Okay, big thanks to both Mark and Dan for their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just a quick reminder as well, there'll be a Euro assist on Monday as we look ahead to the second round of Champions League matches. For now, though, enjoy your domestic football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.